Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, you guessed it, St. Paul says to think about these things, so why not talk about them too? That is what we do on Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normandin, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour of conversation intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. And is Jimmy G in the house?
You're all smiles this morning. Wow.
Well, I got the A-team in the studio.
We've got We're a full house today.
We got a full house. And you've got your vintage tee on. You do not ever disappoint on game day, Jimmy G. You've got your vintage jersey to celebrate Super Bowl weekend.
You know, I've got all these jerseys. This being Super Bowl weekend, I thought, this is the weekend I can get away with a jersey. Yeah. I've got a Gale Sayers jersey.
Yeah, it's a Chicago Bears, number 40. Very cool.
Yeah.
And you had a game card to go with that, too, or the collector's
card. I brought
card.
The card, too.
Yeah,
it's the full package.
Hey, Jimmy G and I are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the stunning Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, California. We are the Diocese of Orange, proudly collaborating with EWTN to bring you our broadcast. And we've come a long way in a year because now you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic. Mm-hmm. And there's a link. There's a link up there right now if you have any inclination to watch us live. We've got a great team in the studio today.
Yes.
So it'll be much more fun to watch it in real time, and you can see the faces and watch us exchange with
each other. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
So in that year that we have been on the air, we've collected a few friends, repeat guests that come back, but none is more popular or more beloved or more valuable than my sister Joni, who is here whenever she visits Atlanta. We love to have her on.
Well, yes. Thank you very much. And whenever I come from Atlanta, I'm delighted to be on. I believe this is my fifth.
It's your fifth appearance. Well, this goes back to someone we were, a local broadcast you were on, too.
That's right.
Yeah, and you attended Mother Angelica's funeral with me.
I just thought of a great new show, My Sister Joni, on EWTN Radio.
Yeah, that is the next thing. I know, the next beginning. Get rid of that Peggy Norman and bring on Joni from Atlanta. We want her.
Well, I am Joni from Atlanta, and I cannot let the opportunity go by without saying first, rise up. This weekend,
yeah,
Falcons.
Okay. That's a little personal.
Secondly, to congratulate my sister Peggy and her team on 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year. Well, you see,
beautiful year.
The best guests, so.
I'm more often a listener than a guest, and so I can, in good conscience, tell you we have enjoyed 1 year of enjoying passing of the liturgical calendar, the national calendar, and our lives through the prism of our good faith here on Call Me Catholic.
Well, thank you,
Amen.
Joni. You do
Amen.
Me honored. You know why I have
I
her
like
on the show now?
I'm going to keep that soundbite.
She's my big cheerleader. Okay, yeah. But you know what? Now, every year, my three sisters, I have a sister in Atlanta, a local sister, and then my sister Joni, a sister in Dallas and Atlanta, and then a local sister. So the four of us gather every year in February to take my mom on a little trip because it's her birthday month. And my mom is going to be 93 years old.
Wow.
You would never know it. She's absolutely stunning, brilliant. We have so much fun together. So we get in the car and we drive someplace. Tomorrow, we're heading for Santa Barbara, and you can just imagine the five of us women in a car, the subjects that we cover. I mean, vast and varied, but it always kind of circles back to culture among the five of us, because the world has changed a lot since my mom grew up, since you grew up, Joni.
That's right.
And sometimes it leaves us a little saddened to think about the erosion of social values and morality. I mean, you can imagine, my mom was born in 1924, and she's witnessed a lot in her lifespan. In the world of music and movies and dress and lifestyle. I mean, our mom's pretty hip. She's pretty hip and cool and with it. But there are trends that none of us understand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all have this kind of
common enthusiasm to kind of reclaim culture. And we're going to explore that subject today on Call Me Catholic with some guests who are committed to doing their part to restore a sense of self-respect and dignity to our modern culture. Tom Costello and Kayla Stadelman are missionaries of a sort with an organization called The Culture Project. Write that down. You're going to want to know more about them. This is an international initiative of young people committed to encouraging wholesome moral values among other young people. They go to schools and parishes and youth groups and bring their joyful message that, guess what? Virtue is cool.
Mm.
Who knew?
Awesome.
They'll be up in just a minute. And then in Chatting with Catholics, you'll hear a conversation I enjoyed with some students from campus ministry at the University of Portland in Oregon. That campus is run by the Holy Cross Brothers, very close to my son's home. So I dropped by there when I was visiting him last week and was welcomed into this great group of students. And we had a great conversation that you're going to hear about later in the show. But first up, it's our Call Me Catholic countdown, which this week is going to be a dueling countdown with my sis, Joni, who's sharing the microphone with me today. And in keeping with our show theme, Joni and I collaborated on a theme. We didn't share our five items. But we thought, what is some advice we'd like to offer modern millennials toward the goal of reclaiming a more wholesome culture? So millennials, what, Joni, born between like 1984 and 2002, something like that?
My math is not my strong suit.
Well, those are my sons, okay. So I know that better than you.
Then that's just about perfect.
So that's our audience. And it seems like their youth was pretty much loaded with moral landmines. So here is the advice that Joni and I would give, the top five pieces of advice that Joni and I would give millennials today.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
Well, if you weren't awake, you're awake now. Okay, Joni, why don't you begin? What's your number
five? Now, these are personal.
Yeah, they have to be. That's more interesting.
But this is from the heart advice I would give. All right, number one, dress up.
Okay, we're going to start with number five. And then
My number five would be dress up.
Nice.
Delight people. Or that one person you'll be meeting in a planned encounter with how highly you regard them by giving special attention to how you've dressed for the encounter. On a much more worldly level, how we dress has always been significant. The expressions dress for success, dress to impress,
right.
Dress for the job you want, not the job you're applying for. More importantly, dress to say not, I'm so good, but rather, you are special. And I honor you.
Beautiful. And that's another, it's a good argument for dressing up for Mass, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, that was like a whole segment right there.
How much time?
Okay, my number five would be choose your friends wisely. I think the company you keep can have a huge influence on the choices you make and the lifestyle you adopt, and it speaks volumes for you. So choose your friends wisely. If you don't think they're making you a better person, if you don't behave in a way that you're proud of with them, if they don't enrich your life with goodness, then find some other friends. Okay, that's my number five. What's your number four?
Number four, we all know the butterflies in the stomach feeling of entering that room or that event or that meeting or class all alone and dreading it. Try projecting there you are, instead of here I am.
Right. Very generous and very unselfconsciously. I like that one, Jody. That's beautiful. Speaks volumes, too. Okay, my number four would be date. Let's bring back dating. You know, be responsible for someone for an evening or an afternoon or a coffee. You are with them from the beginning until you say goodbye. Don't dismiss them. Don't wander off. That kind of mature accountability is very becoming, and I think it helps us treat people with more respect. Dating needs to come back, not just meeting up. Date. All right, number three.
Cool. Hang on to your innocence. You really don't need to try everything, do everything, prove anything. Pass on the smutty movie, the experimental, maybe even legal now, drugs, the promiscuity. Remember that the opposite of innocence is not cool.
And you can reclaim your innocence.
You second, yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
Right. This little advice that I've always given my sons is, nobody ever wakes up in the morning wishing they'd had one more drink. You know, so that's along the lines of just sort of, you know, you don't have to go there all the time, ever. Okay, my number three is throw a dinner party. I think dinner parties help us behave well. You know, you get your house in order, you get yourself in order, you cook, you put a table together. It doesn't have to be fancy. You can have other people help you. You exchange ideas across the table. You're not yelling over each other in a bar. Throw a dinner party. Okay. Where are we now? We're at number two?
We're at number two. Pick a spiritual companion. St. Thomas More.
Oh, I love that.
St. Teresa. St. Therese. John Paul II, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena.
Good. Good company.
Maybe even a saintly someone you've known personally. They can all be a tremendous source of strength, imitation, and inspiration to us. A bit of delving into the lives of the saints just might surprise you by revealing a life that contains some of the same challenges and circumstances that are not too much different than yours.
Okay, good company again. Very nice. I like that. Okay, my number two would be develop some good hobbies. Keep your mind occupied with interesting discoveries, things that you have a passion for or develop a passion for. Enjoy a hobby and enjoy it with other people. It makes you interesting. It makes you more intelligent and it keeps you on the right track from paying attention to the distractions that you shouldn't be investing time in. Okay, what's your number one, Joni?
Number one, stay close to your faith. Find a congregation, an organization, or a society, or a parish that's home to you. And remember, the people that you first meet may not be the people who you absolutely click with, but until you get to heaven, you'll never know what you brought to them.
Beautiful. Well, here, great minds think alike. I said my number one is keep the faith. No matter how you're feeling about it, it's not about feelings. It's about faithfulness. And God is will always win your battles for you, right? Isn't that a St. Augustine?
It's more than a feeling.
It's more than a feeling. Yeah, let's write a song. Hey, there you go. Joni and Peggy's best advice to millennials today toward restoring a more wholesome culture in the world. You can take it or leave it, but do check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/callmecatholic. You can click on a link and see a live stream of the show. We've got pictures and show notes and, you know, give us a like if you're feeling so inclined, if you're feeling generous. Okay, we have some very engaging guests coming up next. Tom Costello and Kayla Stadelman from the Culture Project will be telling us how their program brings the good news of sexual integrity and wholesome living to ages across the country. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hey there, welcome back to Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normandin, and we're keeping it clean today on Call Me Catholic. Well, we always keep it clean, but today we're exploring clean and wholesome living values, and I've got my big sis with me on the show because Joni has always been my model for moral integrity. Thank you for joining me today, Joni.
Thank you for inviting me, Peggy.
Hey, today, Joni, we have the pleasure of welcoming a couple of lovely young people to the show who are doing their part to restore our culture through the experience of virtue. Tom Costello and Kayla Stadelman are missionaries from the Culture Project, an international initiative of young people committed to giving morality a good name again. Kayla and Tom, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Hey, I want to throw out a phone number for any of our listeners who might be inclined to call in and join our conversation. We're going to talk about some interesting things. The number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. Call in with your questions. Marvelous Matt, our call screener, will patch you through. So, Kayla.
Yes.
Kayla Stadelman, you have been a missionary for 3 years.
Yes.
Tell me why you call it missionary. When I think of the word missionary, I think of someone going into an exotic land with a new message to people that have never been brought modern news.
Yes. I guess in some ways in our culture, the message that we do bring is not really known. I think oftentimes when we go into a school or we go into a parish, talk to young people, they might have a misperception or an idea of what the church teaches, but specifically when it comes to virtue. And a lot of the time we talk about chastity, the virtue of chastity. Mm-hmm. There's a misconception there. And so I think in a very real way, we are missionaries here in the United States and teaching young people something that they don't really know or may have a misperception about.
Well, Tom, how does the Culture Project work?
Yeah, so we are missionaries. We're young adults that really believe in love. And we believe in hope and in mercy. And so we have a year-by-year commitment. We live on teams. We live in community. And we go out to schools, to parishes, to youth groups all over the country. Kayla and I are on the Los Angeles team this year, serving all of Southern California. And we just go wherever we're invited, and to speak about the dignity of the human person, what love is, and the virtue of chastity and the beauty that comes along with
that. Was that an easy subject to talk about as a young person? You weren't feeling self-conscious or a little uncomfortable bringing up subjects like sexuality and chastity and moral integrity?
It is difficult at times, but I think when we really dive into the beauty and the richness behind the church's teachings behind it, and we see the misconceptions of the world that the world has about it, it really is beautiful to see and to be able to share that ourselves, and to share with students that we've made mistakes before. We live in the same world that young people do. But to be able to say that we're living a life of chastity, we want to see the dignity of each and every human person, and to share that joy and that beauty with students is really attractive and very fulfilling.
So, Kayla, who is your toughest audience?
Ooh.
You go into, what is the youngest audience that you address?
We will speak to the youngest 7th and 8th graders.
Okay, so middle school.
And I wouldn't find those the most difficult audience. Cause they're generally like, you walk into middle school and they're just excited you're there.
Yeah.
And they more easily just look up to you. I think sometimes the difficult crowd can be the high schoolers. Mm-hmm. There can be a jadedness there, but in some ways it makes our jobs easier because I know my own experience in high school and even in college at times, I just want to know that I'm loved. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I have a message to share with them. I have a truth to share with them. But I think most important when I go into that classroom is just to love them. And that's what they really need. So although that is difficult, it in some ways makes my job easier.
We're talking with Tom and Kayla from the Culture Project, which is a great sort of virtue promoting organization of young people. And this is another really interesting aspect of your ministry, if you want mm-hmm. to call it. It's young people. Is there an age limit where you say, no, you're too old. You can't be taking the Culture Project message out.
I think that's part of our mission is that we accept recent college graduates, early to mid-20s. And Pope Francis says that one of the best ways to evangelize young people is with other young people. So I think that's part of our message, that we're just a step ahead of them in life, so to say. So to be able to have that experience, to know where they've been, and to be somewhat of the same age group, I think is a powerful thing. Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to ask a question or have a comment for Tom or Kayla, our number is 714-282-6034. They are so engaging. I know they'd love to hear from some of our listeners. Now, let me ask you, Tom, you're a guy. Mm-hmm. Kayla, you're a girl. Is there a different message for each gender?
Oh, yes. Although, so for our chastity talk specifically, we actually call it the sexual integrity, because although we talk about the virtue of chastity, we're also talking about the beauty of our sexuality as a whole, so as a woman and as a man. And although there's the same basic points we'll talk about, like what it means to be a man or woman, but then the virtue of chastity, love versus lust, the purposes of sex, but how we approach those topics are a little different, and we pull specifically at the desires of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. Mm-hmm. So when I go into the classroom and I talk to these young ladies, I try to pull at the desire for love, for someone to see them and to know who they are. And
to think they're beautiful, to feel beautiful.
Yeah, and actually we'll take some time to talk about the distorted understanding of beauty in our culture right now, where too often beauty is understood or seen as what we look like on the outside, or even our successes and our accomplishments. And we bring in a magazine, actually, to kind of to point out the lies of the culture mm-hmm. and poke holes in all of those lies. Yeah. That I love it when I turn a magazine around and the first thing one of the girls say is Photoshop. And essentially yeah. they're saying, that's a lie.
Yeah,
that's fake.
That's a lie.
And I applaud that. I'm like, yes. Because our beauty, we as women, in our creation, by our very nature, we are beautiful. We just have to believe it.
So, Tom, what's the message to guys?
Yeah, I think a similar format where we try to connect a desire that they already have and then connect it to relationships and the living that out, which is the virtue of chastity. So for guys, I connect it with our desire for greatness, our desire for heroism. I joke with them, like, if you want to be a basketball player, you don't want to be like the third string backup point guard for Los Angeles Lakers. No, you want to be the starter. You want to be the star of the team. You want to be great in whatever we do. And I say that the same thing applies to relationships as well. And how we live that out is through this freedom of love, which is chastity. And so my coined term that I like to say with the kids is that chastity is being a hero for the sake of love.
Oh.
And connecting that desire.
Did you make that up?
I got it from
someone. Trademark that one.
Thanks
that
so
one,
much.
Tom.
I don't know.
I'm going to quote myself real quick.
But it works. And the kids really, really enjoy that because Chastity is not just about a yes or a no, about a one-time thing, but it's about who we are as a person, mm-hmm. and seeing the other person with the dignity that they have and they deserve, and then loving them because of that.
Well, this is great, and the message is hard to argue with. But do you give them tools? I mean, do you, especially when they get to college, when you're talking to college kids, what you said, high school kids, I think college kids would be a very, very tough audience because you are right in the thick of a wasteland of, you know, everything's been thrown out the window in college and you really have to own it yourself. So do you give them tools? Do you give them guidelines?
Yes. Towards the end of our talk, we'll do practicals. And so one very important topic I talk about, and it was actually mentioned earlier, is the importance of how we dress. And
hey, so, Joni, that was your number five.
Yes, yes. And I'll try to break down the understanding of modesty, because like chastity, I think there's a lot of misconceptions there, that modesty is sometimes understood as like covering up your beauty or like your body's bad. So really canceling that out and allowing people to know that modesty is about remembering how beautiful I am mm-hmm. as a person, and that the way I dress reveals that. And my beauty, too, though, is more than just the way that I look on the outside, but also going deeper on the inside. So I'll give some very practical advice on how to live out modesty every single day. And we do give other practicals such as dating. So, like knowing how far is too far. And also, whenever you want to show affection to somebody, is your intentions to really love them or to get something out of them to use them? So that's a very specific practical we give. Like, what are your intentions? And also,
That's like the father's big question to the man, isn't it? When he comes to pick up the daughter, what are your intentions? Mm-hmm. Are your intentions honorable?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But it's a good question.
Yeah. And I think sometimes the most difficult thing to do when you're in a relationship is being willing to be vulnerable and to communicate boundaries, like to say it out loud. And if you're not mature enough to talk about boundaries, to talk about how you show affection, are you really mature enough to be in a relationship? Mm-hmm. And I believe that every young person has the ability and can have the bravery to do the small practicals.
You got any good tips, Mr. Quotable?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Well, for guys, I mean, do you say take the initiative, you know, respect? I mean, what are some of the rules that you give them or some of the guidelines?
Yeah, exactly. So we don't really talk about modesty as much, but setting boundaries, right? And taking that initiative, exactly. Yeah. And really having, for men, having a good support system as well, having other good brothers around.
Oh, yeah, good.
Like-minded. Exactly, right. And as you both were mentioning before, that the keeping with the faith, and that we've all made mistakes before, and we go into classrooms, not saying that we're perfect, or anything like that, but we've made mistakes, and that, there's always the sacrament of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And, that we have a God of mercy and a God of compassion, and that chastity is a daily decision to continue that fight, whatever struggle that we have.
Don't the guys kind of squirm at the word chastity, though? You know, Joni, you mentioned, now my sister Joni is here co-hosting with me today. We love to have her on when she visits from Atlanta. She mentioned something she observed on your website, the picture of the young man, and he was sort of, it was wistfully.
Oh, it's a beautiful image on your website. It's a beautiful photograph. There's a young man, you see him from the back, and he's looking out the window, and the caption is something to the effect of, I think she's so pretty, and I'd like to tell her, I'd like to meet her. Again, what are my boundaries? What, am I gonna creep her out, or am I gonna have the opportunity to let her know, I'm attracted to you, I admire you, and
yeah, so that was, so you have done some research on your audience to know that these are thoughts that they're having.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think for men especially, that we have a tendency to passivity, that the struggle that we have to not initiate, that it's safer to just be in the background or to just like her, just to hang out or whatever that means, but to be vulnerable and to be honest and say, I like you and I want to pursue you.
Do you think women have brought a little bit of this on themselves because we are women, hear us roar? I mean, Caleb, what do you think? Do you think women intimidate men today, that they're so afraid they're going to make a wrong move?
In some ways, yes. I think a lot of young girls and young women maybe haven't had the chance to receive the love they deserve, to be told they're beautiful, to be pursued, or to, like, for a father to show them that they're worthy staying by their side no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so there could be a hardness in their heart and just a lack of receptivity. And I know myself that learning to receive another person's love, specifically a man's love, can be very difficult. And that's one part of this mission I really love, and that's helped me to grow, is Tom, for example, my teammate, learning just to receive his love. If he compliments me and calls me beautiful, to say thank you, not to be like,
you are beautiful.
No,
you're both handsome
like my
people.
Hair. My hair doesn't look right. Like, you're lying. No, to like just to pause and to receive the gift that he wants to give me. Yeah. And that is, and in some ways, like a sacrifice and a challenge.
We are talking with Tom and Kayla from the Culture Project. We are having a great conversation with them, as a matter of fact, about restoring culture. Boy, this is such a positive, upbeat. It gives me great, great hope for the future and the millennials. And if they've got guidelines like this and coaches like this, then I think they're going to embrace it. I really do. If you'd like to join the conversation, we're going to keep Kayla and Tom around for the next segment. Our number is 714-282-6034. You may have some questions for them, or you may have some comments or observations that you'd like to make about moral integrity and the practice of it and tips. We're quoting Tom and we're taking Kayla's tips. So you may have something that we want to add to our guidebook. And I've got my sister Joni here from Atlanta. She's joining in the conversation too. So stay with us. We're going to talk to Kayla and Tom more about the Culture Project. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic.
Hi,
with Peggy Normandin.
Oh, I've stepped on the announcer. I'm so sorry.
You jumped the gun there. Come on.
Welcome to Call Me Catholic. Welcome back to Call Me Catholic. I'm your host, Peggy Normandin, with my sister Joni from Atlanta today. Love having you as my wingman, Joni. Hey, we are talking about reclaiming wholesome moral values in our world today. And our guests, Tom Costello and Kayla Stadelman from the Culture Project, are outstanding ambassadors of that message. The Culture Project is an initiative of young people, happy, fun, young, attractive people who promote the values of living with moral integrity to other young people. And I just have to say to you guys both, I made this comment before, but I'm going to share it with our listeners, that my 25-year-old son went onto your website because he helps with some of our social media, and he came back and said, wow, those people are really good looking. Not that we're judging appearances, but there's just a wholesome radiance that I think really, really comes through. Hey, how would you grade parents today on raising their kids, talking about these issues with their kids? Do you find that they're sort of avoiding the subject? You're not, nobody wants to, no, parents are not going to take offense at this. We want to hear your thoughts.
No, I think that parents really, really love their children. And I think that, I mean, for us as young adults, we don't know the slightest thing about the sacrifices that a parent has to make. But we also know that parents themselves may not have been taught about this when they were growing up.
They took it for granted, too, in some cases.
Exactly, yes. Right. So I think there is the want to talk about it with their kids, but I think parents need to be supported in that as well, to be given tools and resources.
Sometimes coming from another source, it's a little more comfortable, it's a little more persuasive. Kayla, what do you think?
Well, I was just thinking about how we do give a parent talk. So if we talk to students or at a parish, we offer a parent talk to the parents to come in and hear what we're going to talk to them about. And whenever I speak to the parents, I will ask them the question, do you remember whenever your parents had given you the talk? And they all laugh. And some of them will give a very, like, they'll shake their head, no, my parents never talked to me about that. And how true it is, not only in my generation, but in our parents' generation, they may never have been told the truth about chastity and the truth about sex and the beauty of it. And
well, I think in my mother's generation, she was born in 1924, I just think it was a social norm. I think it was almost deviant to not accept that as something that you sought, something that you wanted to at least be perceived as preserving your virtue and all. But now you're really working against the social trends, and you're doing it well too. Hey, we have a caller from Newport Beach, California. Mimi is listening to Call Me Catholic on the iHeartRadio app. Welcome to Call Me Catholic, Mimi.
Thank you, Peggy. I love your show.
Thank you. Do you have a question for our fabulously darling guest today?
I do, for Tom and Kayla. I think their ministry is beautiful. I love the concept. But I'm curious, how do they gain access to their audience? How do they, are they invited in, like high schools today? Do high schools contact them, or how do you get to those people?
Great question, Mimi.
Yeah, so we go through the diocese, and then we go from there. So But just going on our website at www.restoreculture.com, there's a schedule tab on there. So anybody from anywhere can schedule us, and maybe we'd be able to get out there. But right now we have three teams. We have a team in Philadelphia, a team in Toledo, and a team in Los Angeles serving Southern California. So those are our three main areas that we're serving.
Are you a teacher, Mimi?
No, but I have darling nieces and nephews, and I always am concerned for their virtue.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling. That was a good question, and I hope teachers and principals out there and pastors are all taking note of the Culture Project, because it is a great message, but you do it with joy and enthusiasm. You don't make it look like a dark no subject. It's really one of, yes, look, embrace. This is a good thing.
Yes. And specifically, when we talk about chastity, we really like to make this point that chastity is not just a bunch of no's or a repression of our desires, but chastity is actually a big yes to the deepest desire of our heart, which is to be loved.
Yeah. Hey, we have another caller from Newport Beach. We're getting a lot from Newport Beach today. Welcome to Call Me Catholic, Marianne.
Hi, I'm a huge fan.
Well, thank you. And you sound like you're a young person. We like our young listeners.
I'm not too young. I was calling because I am single, and my friends and I are always just joking, where are the men? Where are they? How can we find them outside of the bar scene?
Girl, I feel you.
Because we want to meet some wholesome guys that have the same values as us, and it's just, where do you find them? Where are they? Will you please tell me?
I am so glad you called with that question, Marianne, because I think that resonates with most young single women, and single men, too. Kayla is definitely shaking her head. How would you respond to Marianne's question?
Yes. I think one way that I've tried to like surround myself with good people as a whole is just finding the young adults that are participating in church activities. Mm-hmm. Since college, I've been a missionary. So in some ways, I've had it easy because I've been surrounded by other young adult missionaries. I wish I had a very specific
answer. Well, I think I'm going to get back to my hobbies. I mean, take up a sport, take up something where you're actually doing something. You're not just standing around trying to look gorgeous, where you're working with people, your like-minded activities, card games. There's lots of things on the internet where you can say who likes to play Scrabble, things like that. Marianne, I have a feeling your Mr. Right is just around the corner, so stay with it, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
God bless you, and thank you for calling. Now, Joni has a question. My sister Joni, who's my co-host today.
Well, I do have a question and a comment, and actually part of it was prompted by one of the stories on your website, and the young woman was saying she was a little bit discouraged because when she went out into life, she expected it to be like Friends. And I would think that Friends might be one of the things culturally that you are having to deal with regularly.
You're talking about the sitcom Friends. Okay, so that's pop culture. What do you think? And we only have another minute or so. What do you think of television shows that set that kind of behavior as a standard?
I think it's everywhere. And I think it's something that we need to be aware of and the reality of. But I think reaching, again, the deepest desires of our hearts, where we want to go, that if I ask most kids, do you want to get married someday? Most, if not all of them, raise their hand. Yeah, I want to get married someday. So how do we prepare for that? How do we prepare for that well? And that's with virtue, with seeing the dignity of the human person.
Well, can you enjoy shows like that still and sort of say, yeah, I wouldn't do that, but it's funny to watch them do it? I mean, that's the problem, is that they're setting standards that people think, I guess I'm expected to behave like this.
So, I mean, I've seen the TV show Friends. I think intentionality is really important. And although we can't avoid our culture and we shouldn't just block our culture out, we want to restore it. So bringing it in, and then we have conversation. We talk about this is wrong or like this isn't true. And we need to be prepared to talk about these issues when we talk to students.
Yeah, very good point. So you can sort of pull things out and say,
yes.
Now that looked cute. I remember our pastor after, I think, the movies Three Weddings and a Funeral. He said, nothing's more dangerous than adorable people doing really bad things. And, you know, that is the landmine there that we have to kind of call. Hey, listen, Tom Costello and Kayla Stadelman, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for showing up in our crowded studio today, for what you do, for who you are, and for bringing this very bold message out to an audience that is hungry for it. Will you come back again?
Yeah, we'd love to.
Yes, we would love to.
Yeah.
This has been fun.
It has been fun. We love it. And we just wish you all the very, very best. So thank you for coming in. And if you want to know more about this fantastic ministry, it's called RestoreCulture.com. The organization is called The Culture Project. We have Kayla and Tom right here in the studio with us as great ambassadors. So look it up, check them out, book them for your next ministry. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Catholics, college-age Catholics from the University of Portland in Oregon. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hello, and welcome back to our fresh, wholesome edition of Call Me Catholic. I am your host, Peggy Normandin, and we're exploring the ways we can help each other reclaim a sense of widespread decency and morality in our culture today. College campuses are probably one of the most challenging landscapes in which to establish the rules of civility, one of Joni and my favorite book. I've got my sister Joni here. She's co-hosting from Atlanta. But they may also provide one of the most effective proving grounds for self-governing our morality. Now, I dropped in on the campus ministry department at the University of Portland in Oregon last week. That's a Catholic university run by the Holy Cross Brothers. And I chatted with the students there about that issue. Let's hear what they said. So I'm sitting here at University of Portland in their campus ministry department, surrounded by these gorgeous, handsome, healthy-looking college students, and they're all practicing Catholics, I assume. Is that correct? And so I'm posing the question to them, what are some of the biggest challenges do each of them face in living out their Catholic faith as a college student? Because we all know college presents a lot of challenges in terms of developing character, developing our independence, and sustaining our faith that we used to practice with our parents at home.
I think one thing that has been a challenge is hearing so many different perspectives. Like when you're in a college environment, there are a ton of people from a bunch of different places and different times in their life with different backgrounds and different experiences. And I think kind of going out of your personal shell and exploring into those ideas of other people, you know, you kind of go back and you think like, wow, what am I thinking? Is my reasoning logical and like true to who I am? And I think that's been really rewarding for me, is to hear those opposing views and grow from those and learn more about what I believe in, why I believe it.
Yeah, I think that's why college is just a brilliant time, but it's also a challenging time. It's a proving ground.
Yeah, definitely.
I've never had a problem like doubting my faith, but I think what I've had a hard time with is sometimes if someone learns I'm Catholic, like my ability to have like a good conversation with them goes down because my credibility in their eyes is lowered because of my faith. And I think that's hard because I do want to have very serious conversations, whether it has to do with politics, faith, or whatnot. When your credibility goes down and their wall comes up, it's hard to move forward and to be able to have a fruitful conversation where you learn from them and they learn from you.
So it puts you on a defensive position pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I think especially being pro-life, I mean, that's just where you start living by example and prove to them that you're worth listening to and that you want to listen to them as well. So.
Well, I found her very listenable. But do you find that that's a struggle right here on this campus, which is a Catholic university?
Even though this is a Catholic university, everyone's got different views, even other Catholics. But it makes me and other people on campus have to be creative about how we approach this topic to like share it.
Okay, so how about, you know, the attendance of liturgy? So, you know, you came from homes where you probably went to Mass on a regular basis with your parents, you know, to your parish church. And here you come to a campus where the Mass times are usually really different. The Mass ambience is really different. Was that an adjustment to make?
I came in like my first semester of college actually not going to Mass as normally as I would have. And it was like taking a break to find myself and like who I was to be without like my parents by my side, without my sisters by my side, to be my own person. And then decide, like, okay, is it something, like, I want to continue with? And then it wasn't until I had received an invitation from a friend to, like, come join at Mass. And then I was, like, reminded of my faith and what I believed in and of how it's a hole in your heart if you don't, like, continue to keep it nice and fresh, because then you almost feel like you're living in a shell.
But you're owning it for the first time.
Oh, yeah. And since joining campus ministry, like, I take part in just about everything. It's not something like they're being forced into.
I've personally been really inspired by attending Mass on campus as opposed to at home, because I'm from a really small town, so it's always just older individuals at Mass, and it's so refreshing.
Okay, I get that.
Right? It's very...
Ouch.
Sorry. Refreshing on a college campus to look around and see so many people your own age who are making their own personal effort to attend Mass because someone isn't there telling them to go. It is the own desire in their heart drawing them there or through their friends.
Have any of you signed up for things that you didn't do in your own home parish, like maybe be a Eucharistic minister or a lector, things like that?
Back home, I didn't. There was not a big youth ministry program at my parish. And so I was kind of like all alone to explore my faith in high school. And so being here, what I'm involved in that I never got the chance to be a part of are things like small groups and different ministries that bring people together outside of the Mass. So that's what I'm really grateful for.
It's been so great to be a part of a community that is so passionate about what I'm passionate in. Like at home, it's really different. Going to Mass with people who voluntarily choose to go is just incredible.
Yeah. So I asked about the dating scene, and what did you call it?
I called it a wasteland.
Okay, anybody have a comment about the dating world in college? Or is that just a totally dated word, dating? Dating is a dated word.
I think one thing that I've come to realize is the importance of true friendship, the value of maybe not a significant other, but finding those close friends, because I feel like those are timeless.
Yeah. I think some of the issues concerning the dating scene is time. And so, especially if you're very involved with campus ministry or with any organization, you're going to have not much time. So I find myself pretty busy every day. So I don't really have time for dating. Not like I'm interested, but yeah.
You just broke a whole lot of hearts.
I know.
Father Jim wanted to actually direct a question to some poor victim in the group here. What did you want to ask him, Father?
What's it been like not just showing up for Mass or liturgies or participation, but entering into a leadership role in some of the retreats and small groups?
Victor, what do you have to say? Defend yourself.
Thank you, Father Jim, for putting me on the spot. One of the programs I started, Living Stone.
And what's the core of it?
The core is it's a small group experience where a diverse group of people can come together and talk about what it's like being on campus, what their life is like, adjusting. They can just talk about what's going on in their life, but they can also feel comfortable bringing up God as it connects to that.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Victor. What drew you to campus ministry? Did you seek it out, or was there something that kind of, did somebody come out with the big hand and grab you in?
Yeah, so as I had mentioned that in the invitation of my friend inviting me to Mass, that Mass, they just so happened to announce that, oh, they're in need of people who were altar servers, Eucharistic ministers, lectors, greeters. And I was like, I think I'm going to do all of them, because back home I couldn't be a Eucharistic minister and I couldn't be a lector. And getting to experience that here, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be distributing the blood of Christ and everything.
Why couldn't you be at home?
They had specific training that the diocese would put on, and I was.
And sometimes those church people, they get their talents in a job and they will not make room for anybody else, right?
It's true. I see that in parish life sometimes. Mm-hmm.
I was told by a priest that I knew, that my family and I knew before I attended the University of Portland. He let us know that there was a summer camp, a 4-day long summer camp called Levin, to attend. And it's based in campus ministry. It's run by campus ministry. And you basically live with 19 people who are all incoming freshmen. And you learn about campus ministry opportunities. You go and volunteer downtown. And, so I learned about every single opportunity in campus ministry over the summer. And I started almost day one. I was singing with.
So as an incoming freshman, you experienced this?
Oh, yeah, as an incoming freshman. It was such a unique program that I'm so grateful for, because it gave me two families, and my family in campus ministry through being able to jump in and feel comfortable immediately, doing the programs here. And then the family of students, incoming students that I was with. Some of them are still my best friends to this day. So I was lucky enough to have a really great support group and a really great group of people to go to Mass with at the very beginning. So I was never deterred.
Yeah, and it gives you confidence coming in as a freshman, because the world looks pretty scary. So it's called Levin.
I also went on Levin, and I was essentially thrust into campus ministry my first week here. It was wonderful in one of the greatest ways I think I could have gotten involved. And I also loved it so much that I helped lead it the next year. So being a student leader on that retreat was a very unique experience, just to be on the other side and to be able to share all of your information and knowledge with other freshmen and see their eyes light up at all the opportunities on campus.
Wow, it sounds like you really have a thriving campus ministry here. That's very, very cool.
In high school, I was really involved in campus ministry. I was the campus ministry chair at my high school, which was Servite High School. It was a Catholic all-guys high school.
In Orange County?
Yes.
Great football team this year.
Oh, yeah.
You beat Mater Dei.
I know. We're really excited about that. So, but coming to college, I kind of wanted to take a step back because it was so much, and I was doing so many things that I just needed to pull back. But then I got involved in this great retreat that we have called Encounter with Christ. And I went on as a freshman the first time I could go, and then onwards after that, I started getting more involved, being on the leadership team for that. And now I'm on the servant leadership team here on campus, like showing us how to bring Christ into people's lives and kind of showing them where he is in places that you wouldn't expect.
What year are you in college?
I'm a senior. I have my last semester.
So it'll be interesting when you graduate and you go on and lead your professional life, how this carries forward and how it continues to nourish you.
Yeah, that's something that I've actually been really struggling with this year. But on the servant leadership team, we put on events and stuff. And actually one of the events that I'm planning on hosting is going to be like how people lead their faith lives as a professional in the real world.
So, Father Jim Gallagher, you are the leader of this dynamic campus ministry program that I came in here thinking these kids were all going to talk about, oh, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that, but they're telling me how great their life is because of campus ministry. They didn't give me anything that I wanted. No. But clearly, you're reaching them, and you're reaching a lot of students. So how many students do you think, on an average, are active in your campus ministry program here at University of Portland? It's just these kids. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's eight, core eight.
It's hard to know because we're tracking numbers all over that we usually have upwards of 300 students coming to Mass on Sunday, but then we have upwards of 600 students who pass through our different retreat programs over the course of the year, and then we've got our many small groups and several other things. So I think it's a pretty sizable number, but in different ranges with some that are very involved and then some that show up at one event. And
yeah, it tests the waters. What's the population, student population here at University of Portland?
So we have about 4,000 students total, probably about 3,800 undergrad, and about 50% are Catholic.
What do you see as the struggles? I mean, what do you see as the real challenges that Catholic kids face trying to really preserve their faith or live through their college years with their faith intact?
I think a lot of it is that development into making the faith their own. They're moving from a space in which it was the house that they grew up in, and this was the faith of their family. And so coming here, it's making that transition to make it their own. And some do come here wanting to make a complete split from what was from their family before and want to do their own thing and leave it behind. Some don't make it very far with leaving it behind and find themselves drawn right back in. But others do really leave it behind and stop actively practicing the faith. And so that's one of the things that I find myself musing on regularly. How do I reach out to those students and give them that opportunity to engage the questions, to really think about it deeply, but also come to know the beauty and the wonder of the church and the life in the church and the life that can come of it.
You say that half of the student population here at University of Portland is non-Catholic, and yet they're surrounded by Catholic imagery, Catholic clergy, Catholic kids. Do you find a lot of non-Catholics come into campus ministry sort of saying, this looks attractive, what is this?
We actually have a good number of non-Catholic Christian students who are very engaged in their faith, and they are very involved in our retreat programs. We also have a non-denominational worship and prayer group that meets on Wednesdays, and just other ways the small groups, a lot of students get involved in those as well. And then we're also trying to engage all of our students to give them the opportunity to grow in their faith wherever they are in whatever church community they belong to. So whether they're Christian or Muslim or Jewish or nothing at all, to give them some of those spaces to engage the questions of faith and give them the opportunity to dive deeper in there and find those places to ask the questions. And
do a lot of young men or women ask you about your vocation, about your priesthood?
Oh, it is a favorite question. But one of the things I notice is that a lot of students, they're trying to figure out where they're going, what their life is going to look like. They're trying to figure out their major, and they want to know where they're supposed to go to figure out what the major is supposed to be. And so having people around who have obviously heard a sense of call, and not just what do I want to do with my life, but what is God calling me to? And so being able to share my story, but then invite them into asking some of those similar questions. Actually, 2 years ago, we started a discernment retreat, not just for religious life and the priesthood, but for all students to engage that question of what is God calling me to?
Vocation. Yep. So have you enjoyed it? Do you like working with college students?
College students are a lot of fun. They've got a lot of energy, a lot of zeal. And again, I enjoy helping them come to understand where the meaning is. We do odd things as Catholics, and yet we have good reason for all of it. And so give them the opportunity to engage some of those questions of why do we do this? Where does this come from? How does this happen this way? And I enjoy finding that opportunity to really break it open, break open the treasure trove for them.
So what's the most fun you have as campus ministry head?
There's the Eucharist. How can anyone have more fun than that? But at the same time, going on retreats and going on some of the pilgrimages and immersions where you're just spending a lot of time getting to know the students, and you get to relax a little bit and they get to know you more than just the priest saying Mass. And then also provide some of that opportunity for them to then warm up and really ask the questions that they're thinking about.
Do you feel like modern culture really is a hard thing to kind of weigh and battle against? The movies that are out there, the music that is out there?
Oh, sure. I think one of the big struggles is the culture. And it's a culture that doesn't value faith and religion. It is one of those things that looks upon religion and says, this is somebody that doesn't think for themselves. This is somebody that doesn't have a good outlook and engagement. This is left behind. But then you're right, too. There's all that comes out of movies and music and images about relationships and sex and sexuality, even just goals and what one is looking for in life, doesn't encourage virtue.
Hey, that really relates to what we were talking about on our show today, doesn't it, Joni? The Culture Project, kids, the culturerestoreculture.com. Check it out. And Joni, I want to thank you for joining me today as my co-host, my sister Joni from Atlanta.
What a privilege.
Well, you are a ball, so I love having you on there. And now coming up next is Barbara McGuigan with The Good Fight, 2 hours of great conversation. Today she is welcoming Dr. Edward Suri. So mostly we want you to tune in again next week, same time, same day, same place for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I am Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.